Let's welcome to the show Max Talisman, the director, star, and writer of the new rom-com Things Like This. Max, I adored the film.
I'm so glad. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to
Of
chat.
course. Of course. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. So, tell us a bit about your background.
So I grew up right outside of DC in Bethesda, Maryland, and I was a theater kid. I was lucky enough that I got to act professionally in DC growing up. Worked a lot in the theater scene down there, and that, really kind of molded me as an artist and as a person. Then I went to Syracuse University for 2 years, left, and moved to New York City, and that's where this project started to, I think, be born, was just being a young gay man living in New York City, dating, having an experience, as a plus size person. And after a few years, I was lucky to be working as an actor, but I wasn't auditioning for the roles that I wanted to. And I just sort of sat down and wrote what became Things Like This. And I'm lucky that here we are. It's been out in the world for a few months now, and digital, and it's just exciting that people are finally getting to experience, what I sat down to do 7 or 8 years ago.
So talk about your process. Talk about writing the screenplay.
Yeah, so I wrote the original screenplay. The first draft was written in seven, like less than a week, the first draft. And but I mean, obviously that draft, I don't think anything is the same. There might be one like scene that is a little the same, but it's so different. But when I sat down to write it, it kind of, came out of me very quickly. And it was, I never like to set, like, I don't do like storyboards or anything like that. I like to kind of let my process just lead me wherever the story wants to go. And sometimes that's a good thing, like what happened here. Sometimes it's not as good. Like, I have so many projects that are going, and then they take a weird turn, and I'm like, I'm out, I can't keep doing it. But that's my process. It's not, I don't like to pre-plan. I like to let my mind and my creativity just kind of lead the way and take me to the places of where the story wants to go. And so this first draft was written in a week, and then we did a reading. I like to, every time I write something, do a reading with my friends. I'm once again lucky that I'm around a lot of actors, so we all get together. I order a bunch of donuts, and we all read whatever I wrote. And I invited Buzz Koenig, who's the producer who I was working with and still work with. He's the best. And he went to that reading, and he was just like, "There's something here. There's something here." And that's all we really needed to know to just start the process of working on it together. And so over the next few years, he came over to my apartment in New York a few times, not a few times, like every week for one summer. He'd come over once a week, and we would edit the script together, and it would just, it grew, and it became what it is today over that period. Yeah.
So talk about casting. Talk about your leading man
Yeah.
and the supporting cast.
Yeah. So the casting was, it was a process that started, like as soon as, the project starts, I have people in my mind of who I want to play certain roles. I write some things for my friends, and I'm like Charlie Tejon, who's a great friend of mine. I wrote Kenny for him, and so as soon as I wrote the script, I was like, "Would you do this?" And he was luckily in. But in general, a casting is sort of a never-ending, process of things changing until you're on set, is how I feel. The cast that we had going to New York was completely different than the cast that showed up on set by the time we were filming 2 months later. So I was lucky that we were able to work with Katharina Eggman, who's like the best. She's an amazing casting director. And when she came on board, it just, the whole process went so much smoother than us trying to do it on our own, which we should have never done. And that's definitely, like, I've said from like ever since that, the first thing I would do with the next project is hire a casting director, hire her, and I've done that. Covered my bases there. But we with Joey, it was this thing where I had connected with him about a different project I'd written, and we had a Zoom, and we just, you can tell when you have a rapport with someone, when there's going to be a chemistry. And I knew that with this project, it wouldn't work if we didn't have chemistry, me and the, person playing Zach. And I obviously was a fan of his work, and I knew that he's incredibly talented. And I just gave him another call and talked to him about this project and was like, would you do this? And he was like, send me the script and everything. And he said in interviews that it was that call that sold him, not the script. But I think it's important that when we had that call, he felt the same thing, which is that there's a, sorry, but there's a synergy here. There's a connection. There's chemistry. And that's where we started, Joey and I. Yeah.
So you talk about acting. Did you go to film school? Have you directed films before?
I've never directed before. I have acted before. I went to Syracuse University for acting for 2 years, and then I left. I moved to New York. I had a team there, so that's why I moved to New York. And I was in, I was lucky that I got to do some TV projects, some film as an actor, but I wasn't going to direct this until, it was around a little later in the line that it felt like the choice that I should direct it. I've directed theater, and like I have a mind of, I wanted to direct, but I didn't want to rush it. I know that I even now barely know anything. So, I one thing I love about this work and this business is that I feel like I'm learning every day. Every day that I'm here, I get to learn about more things in this business and this life I've chosen to lead. So, I feel like, I was lucky that I knew that if I got on set, I would have to hire the best people around me. And that was really my number one job, was make sure that the people in charge of each department knew everything. And those people ended up on Zooms with me. And luckily they loved the project, and it did work out the way I wanted that too.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So talk about the shoot. How long did it take? Were there some hurdles you needed to clear?
Yeah, I mean, I think, with an independent film, there's always some hurdles. But we really worked as a cohesive unit. We only shot for 18 days. That's all we had. We had 18 days, we just had to, sort of 12 hours a day, get everything you could. And it's nothing came up that was like really awful. It was just little things, that like, you lost this location, what do you want to do? Like that kind of thing. The permit didn't come through, what do you want to do? But it was never anything that like felt like it was going to harm our project. I mean, we filmed in 2022, and we were extremely lucky. No one ever tested positive for COVID in the entire production. So like, that's something, that you feel sort of like something's on your side if that's the case. Because also we were getting tested, Joey and I, anytime we had any sort of intimate scene, we're getting tested three, four times a day. So they would have known. But it was we were lucky that nothing really happened that was something you couldn't come back from. Now, I mentioned the casting stuff. Cara Buono was only hired 2 days before she had to be on set to play Margie. So that's the kind of thing that I think, but that's more independent film where you just have to make sure that you're being fluid. You are rolling with the punches in a way that you know that the best things are meant to happen. I always feel like I was lucky that Buzz at the start told me, like, your cast is going to change, but the people who are meant to be in this project will be in it. You have to trust that. So I did. I trusted him, and I feel like that's absolutely what happened in the end.
So was this was there this internal struggle within yourself, screenwriter, director? No, stick to the script. Oh no, let's try this. Oh
Absolutely not, because the biggest part of me is actor who's like, let's play around.
no.
So like I only want actors to say what feels right for them to begin with. I'm really not precious about the script itself. Like as long as it's still the same movie, we're good. And so it was really clear from the moment we started, like I wanted us to make sure that we had a place to play. I wanted to make sure that people knew they had freedom to explore and to try new things. Because I think that's when you get the best work, is when actors feel that freedom. And then also, by the way, they are mostly getting the script. Like I just feel like when actors have the freedom to feel like they can explore and try new things, they also feel the want to do good work. So it all is sort of the same thing. I've said this, but Barbara Barry completely rewrote her scene. She showed up on set with a completely
Oh
written thing.
yeah.
And it was better than what I had. So I was like, great. Like, because she personalized it. She made it about something, that was her personal experience. And then when she did the scene, it's a master class in acting. So like if I had, when we got there, been like, no, you have to do what I want. First off to, a legend like Barbara Barry,
Yeah,
who am I to
right.
say that? Like, no way. But also, we wouldn't have captured what we did. I think you as a writer, you can't be too precious about your words. It's no, yeah.
How wonderful to see Barbara Barry on screen again.
Absolutely.
It's been a while, and I thought, who? Oh.
Yeah. No, I saw her in a play called Significant Other a few years ago in New York, and she was amazing in it. But I mean, she's a legend. It's one of
Right,
those things where
right.
it's just, and she couldn't be more. I don't want to speculate, like, but she can't be more than 4'11", 5 feet. Like, I mean,
Oh,
she's,
yeah.
but also that's what I mean. She is a powerhouse of a person.
Nice,
So,
nice.
it's just this, it's emanating from her. Yeah.
Yeah, sweet. And you have a few other cameos in the film. You want to talk about those?
We do. We have Willem, the drag queen, who's amazingly talented and hilarious and has one of my favorite lines from Drag Race ever. Your tone sounds very pointed right now. I'm obsessed with it. It's the best way to talk to anyone after they come at you with lists of things you're bad at. So, Willem's amazing. We also, we're lucky enough to have Bridget Regan on set for a scene, and she's such a dream. And she, I was like, oh my God, Poison Ivy's here. I'm like, Poison Ivy's here. As a Batman fan, I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. But she's also just such a great professional and a lover of musical theater. So we had a lot to chat about. Eric Roberts obviously came in for a day, and just he does what he does, which is that he commands the screen, owns the role, and just kills it. He knows what he's doing, and that's why he works so much, and he loves acting. So like I have nothing, like it's so cool to be around someone who just loves what you do so much and respects the craft so much. There's a moment in the bloopers, which you can't really, it's one of the moments you actually can't hear, but I've kept it in because I love it, which is he leans over to Joey and they're at a table and he says, I love making movies. And Joey goes, it's the best. And they fist bump on it. And I just think it's so cool because he really does. He just loves it. And that's someone who, really just feels an appreciation for what he gets to do every day.
Right.
And then obviously we have Diane Salinger, who comes in as Darlene Bat and is hilarious and amazing. So yeah, no, we have a bunch of fun cameos, which I feel like, is a hallmark of the romantic comedy. I wanted that. I needed that. And it was important that like this film was in honor of the romantic comedies I grew up with. The 90s, Nora Ephron, romantic comedies that I felt like I had to relate to at, to these straight characters. And so what I wanted to do here was just create that, but with queer leads and a queer plus size lead. And so I did want to, add in the cameos and the fun of that.
Nice, nice. Well, truly successful. What so what queer filmmakers do you admire? Did you take from?
I spent months, honestly, over the last few months, I've been watching a lot of different queer filmmakers, and just really absorbing, what people before me have done. Andrew High obviously is so great. Weekend is amazing, but also I rewatched Looking twice over the last few months. Because I don't think we really absorbed how good it was when it was with us. It's so good and it's so well written and it's so real. Like the characters don't, I love that it's never, like they're doing crazy things. It's just like it's their lives, it's life. I really love that. Russell T Davies, I think, is incredible. It's a Sin was one of the most, in like beautiful projects I've seen in the last 10 years, just from start to finish. I love that it began so joyful, to be honest. That first episode is one of the most joyful episodes of any show I've ever watched. And I think we've seen a lot, and obviously I say we've seen a lot, and it's important that we do, but about that time period, about the AIDS epidemic. But I just feel like from this perspective of not knowing what's happening was something I hadn't seen and felt, really real to the time period in an organic and visceral way. And I was blown away by that project specifically.
It's true. I felt that same way. And still there's warmth and there's humor, but it really captures that because as someone who lived through that, you think, oh, but we still had fun. Like we were doing this. I was an ACT UP. We were protesting. People were dying. It was horrible. We were taking care of people, but we were still having fun. Like we're still young queer people, and we're
And
like,
the emphasis on the chosen family of it was so right on, I felt. Yeah, no, it's a great project. I do, anyone who hasn't seen it, I tell to watch it. I'm like, watch it. It's
Absolutely.
five episodes. It's
Oh
perfect.
yeah.
It's perfect.
You're right. It is perfect.
And then I find myself watching Paris is Burning probably once every few months. I come back to it because I just feel like it's this we're talking about queer joy, and it's this film where I think anyone who like is going into it might expect it to be depressing or any sort of where the circumstance of life has brought these queer people of color. But it's the most inspiring, beautiful, like, really, you walk out of watching that film and you're like, I can do anything. Like, what a gorgeous life I get to live. And that these people before me, lived in joy and like just expressed joy. And I just that project itself, like I go back to quite a bit, watch every few months, because it really does just remind me, to live in that joy.
Yes, you have you seen I'm Your Venus?
No, actually, is
The
that the about
documentary.
Venus?
The documentary about yes, the Venus from
I'm gonna
Paris.
watch it.
Oh,
I
you
haven't
should.
watched
Oh,
it.
it's so good. It's so good. It's
Okay.
just lovely. And as someone who lives, do you live in New York now?
I did. I live in LA now. I'm in West Hollywood now, but I was in New York for 7 years, and I love New York. I'm back there all the time.
And it's such a New York story, both Paris is Burning and I'm
Well,
Your.
yeah, absolutely. And also to that end, Pose is amazing TV.
Of course.
Just amazing TV. And I really believe it's some of Ryan Murphy's best work, some of that whole team, Stephen Canals. Like it's a great show.
Most
So.
thoughtful, right?
Absolutely.
Sort of in-depth, intimate work.
Yeah, it really is. You get to live with these people in a way that most of his, I mean, I think his shows have a larger focus than this one does a lot of the time. They're a little grander, and this is really introspective, and respectful to who these people were. And
Yes.
I mean, I know the scene still exists, the ballroom scene is still there, but obviously, it's about the 90s and the 80s, so it's a little,
Sure.
yeah.
Sure. So talk about the first time you saw things like this on the big screen with an audience.
I've only seen it a few times with an audience, to be honest, because now when it plays with an audience, it's a lot for me to be there. It's very cool, but also it's, I'm like, why aren't they laughing? That was a joke. Like, I can't, I think because I have too many of these
Laugh
in
now.
it. Like, if I'm just acting, I could sit there. If I was just writing, I could sit there, but like too many hands in it. So I can't really absorb it in the calm, oh my God,
Yeah.
for joy, everyone's here type thing. But it is very cool. And I did do it a few times when we were still kind of like in process. One time we did a screening when we had finished editing before we did color or anything, just to make sure that it worked simply. So I was in the room for that. And then I was in the room again like a year later when we did another screening for a potential sales agents, whatever. Like, I've been in the room for those moments, but I didn't sit in any premieres. I was like, I heard, I mean, like, the reports were amazing
Yeah.
and that's great, but I was at Junior's eating chocolate cake waiting for people to be done.
That sounds like a good place to be.
Yeah, I needed to.
I mean, you read interviews with, really famous actors, huge personalities, and they're like, "Oh, I can't watch my films," or "I haven't seen that film in 30 years," and you're thinking, "Gosh, I watch it once a year."
Who was it? Like Anne? Does it? Was it Anne Hathaway? Oh, no, it's Emily Blunt. Just said that she hasn't ever seen Devil Wears Prada. One of them, and they're about to go make the sequel, so they were like, "I gotta watch it."
No, I have to
Are
watch
you
it.
in a perfect movie and you've never watched it?
Right.
Yeah, but I get it. I mean, Joey has seen the film, but like, doesn't want to be in the theater with other people. I think it's, I get it. I've been in, things where you are sitting there and you feel like people are looking for your reaction.
Right.
Yeah.
So I usually ask my filmmakers this question, but so often the question has been, "I'm still working on this film, so
Yeah.
are you working on another project now?"
I am. I'm putting together two projects right now, and they're both really exciting. They're both very different from each other. One is TV, one is film. And I'm hopefully going to be able to announce at least one of them very soon.
Nice.
I'm very excited, but I'm exploring a little bit more into stuff that matters to me politically, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think it's a time where I can't shy away from what I believe in. I think we are actively feeling our rights at risk. People have already lost their rights. And as someone who has any sort of platform to create anything, this is the moment where it's important for me to not back down. I grew up in DC. My dad is in politics, has been since I was young. I come from that in terms of, just what I grew up around. And so now that I am creating, it's important for me to talk about it and to, make sure that we are having those conversations, even if they're
Yes,
uncomfortable.
absolutely. We just have a couple of minutes. So how can folks see things like this?
So they can see things like this. Oh, this is on, they won't see the QR code. But they can see things like this on Amazon, on Apple, on YouTube, on Google Play. You just gotta search things like this. Rent, buy. You can also order it on Blu-ray if you like physical media, DVD as well on Amazon or wherever DVDs or Blu-rays are sold. So, I know they're not in person at Best Buy anymore, which is really sad for me. I used to love they had those buckets.
Oh yeah.
dive in and grab everything. But I love physical media. So, but yeah, it's available to rent or purchase right now. So everyone, please go watch it. Let me know your thoughts. You can message me at the Max T Show on Instagram, on TikTok, and yeah, thank you so much.
Wonderful, Max. Thank you so much. Best wishes with this wonderful film
Thank
and everything
you.
else you've got going on. And come back when you have something new to talk about.
Would love to. Thanks for having me. Nice to talk to you.
We're joined
Cool.
now by Linus O'Brien, who is the director of Strange Journey, the story of Rocky Horror. An incredible film. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Really a beautiful film. Really wonderful. I'm a huge Rocky Horror fan, so I'm one of those people. I've
Great.
been seeing the film since 1976.
Amazing.
I'm from Chicago, so the Biograph Theater was the thing
Right.
in the late 70s and early 80s while I was there. Saturday night, man, it was the place to be. I'm kind of surprised it's taken so long for someone to make a documentary, and I guess that's to your advantage because you're certainly the person to make that film, and you have, yes. So we all know your father, Richard O'Brien, is the creator and star of Rocky Horror. But of course you know him as Dad. Talk about your life with this incredible man.
Well, I mean, it's funny because people ask me, what was it like growing up with him? Was it with someone who had such a strange career, but he was just my dad. That was his office job. I mean, it was a strange office job, but that's what it was. So I really didn't know any different. I guess if I had come into his life like I was adopted or something, then it would seem out there. But it, just he was just that's what he did. That was his job, and it seemed completely normal. Rocky would come into our lives at various points, for anniversaries or a new stage production or a convention or something like that. And that would be it, really. Two or three times a year, we'd have Rocky in our lives, and then our lives would continue. So it just obviously it's taken on a bit more importance with the 50th anniversary coming up. I came up with the idea for the documentary about 3 years ago, and it was inspired by the comments I saw under a YouTube clip of I'm Going Home. And that's obviously featured in the movie as well. So the combination of seeing those comments and the 50-year anniversary was what inspired me to make the documentary.
Nice. At what age were you first allowed to experience Rocky Horror?
I saw it when I was 4 years old in 19. It would be yeah, because it would probably be 1976. Was it 70 or 77? I saw it at the what was the King's Road Theatre. So it was the original stage production, but it had moved from the theatre upstairs to the Classic Cinema and to the Isolde. So 1973. Yeah, it would have been 1977 probably. I saw it.
Incredible, because many people are really familiar with the film and maybe haven't seen it on stage. Two sort of distinct experiences, but of course, very, very linked.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that, obviously the various productions change over the years, right? So the stage production that was at the Royal Court Theatre upstairs was very different from the one that came to the Classic and the Isolde, just merely because of the theatre upstairs only held seated 60 people, and the Classic was like 250, and then the Isolde, I think, was probably like, I don't know, 500, 600 maybe. And the stage design was different for both of them. So, yeah, I mean, it changed depending on where the venue was. But I guess the original and as it's changed over the years, the stage production has been fluid and changed. I mean, when the original stage production was very scary, and it wasn't just because I was very young that I found it scary. I was talking to the musical arranger, Richard Hartley. And I said, God, my memory is of it being really scary. He was like, you were right. It was very scary. They used to have these clear, they were kind of semi-translucent masks that the ushers used to wear. And they used to put them on and lead people to the seats. And they never said a word. So it created this real foreboding in the theater as soon before you got in. And as they say in the movie, they created immersive theater by doing that. So yeah, it was really ahead of its time in its in the ideas behind it.
And so how long did it run in London?
After the
In
Isolde, it
Shapex.
transferred to the Comedy Theatre in the West End. And so I think it was roughly about 10 to 11 years was that initial production run. And then it left the West End for a while. And then it came back in 19, I want to say 1994, something like that.
Wow. And
Yeah.
it was on Broadway, but didn't do very well.
Yeah, it was just 38 shows on Broadway, but as Ladler says in the movie, it could have closed after the first night. The reviews were so bad. They made a mistake putting it, if they had taken it off Broadway, it would still be running today, is my belief. But because they put it into a regular, on Broadway, no one was happy with that. The critics and they just weren't having it. Like anything that came from LA was seen as less than. So, yeah. And it didn't help that they put on the poster, here's the hit from London, LA, get ready, Rocky is on its way, or something like that. That really made them upset. So, what can you do?
Broadway, it's sort of celebrating a big birthday Broadway, and
Yeah.
it's a really interesting article. I think it was in New York Magazine that's like Broadway was always more of a concept. It was
Right.
a bunch of theaters, but it was always a horrible neighborhood, and
Right.
all this marketing tool. Oh, Broadway as we know
Yeah, I
it
know. It's
now.
funny. And now it's coming back to Studio 54, the stage production, next year.
Oh, really?
It's for the third time it's coming back now.
Well, that's a great venue to see a show.
Yeah, I it's a perfect place for it, really.
Oh, nice. Will your father be there?
I don't know. He doesn't travel very much these days,
Oh, yeah.
so it would be a bit. I mean, he might, but he's 83. He doesn't like to travel, so I mean, he's physically able to do it, but he's mentally he doesn't like to travel. So I'm not sure.
I'm sure it's going to be a huge hit. I'm
We'll
sure.
see. I think it's a limited run, 6 months, which is probably the way to do it. And if it does well, they'll extend it, and if it just will last for 6 months, I think that's fine too.
Nice. Has the cast been announced?
No, it hasn't. I've had a couple of people who've wanted to audition, so I actually must reach out to the powers that be and see if they can audition.
I mean,
Yeah.
it's such a groundbreaking show, groundbreaking film to think this was happening in the 70s. In the queer community, we're used to these themes. Even then, we thought about transgender issues much differently as gay men,
Yeah.
but it holds up so well. I watch it a couple times a year, so I'm
Yeah.
always sort of seeing it, and it just always surprises me how there's nothing out of sync with the way we think about those issues today.
Yeah. It's very strange. I think the Rocky works on many different levels. I think, you've got the performance of Tim Curry, which is iconic. My dad's music, which is very strong. It's probably the main reason that people keep coming back. Then there's the transgressive themes. Then there's the integration of those genres, the Frankenstein, horror, science fiction. So it's just got so many things going on, and I think that's what happens when something has that kind of longevity. It's never just one thing. It's usually working on multiple levels. And I think the thing also that gets overlooked is that it's full of joy and happiness. I think if it had been darker or more sinister, or was banging you over the head, like preaching to you, I think it would have got a lot more friction and pushback. But because it's so full of joy, it's kind of hard to battle against something that is so joyful. So,
True. That's true.
yeah.
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 It just looks like Tim Curry is having a riot. I mean, the entire
Yeah.
cast. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's camp, but it doesn't sort of devolve into silliness or goofiness.
Yeah. I
There's
mean, the storyline is crazy. The storyline is absolutely insane, you know,
Bonkers,
and that, you know,
right?
they're eating Eddie at the end of the movie. I mean, it's just it's crazy.
Wait, so what are some of your favorite moments in the show or the film?
Well, my favorite songs are I'm Going Home and Superheroes. I think they're very poignant, those songs. And what's so funny about it, right, is the majority of the songs before that are all this kind of raucous rock and roll, you know, very energetic, high energy songs. And then it ends on such a somber and poignant way that, you know, it really kind of, oh wow, it kind of elevates everything that you've been seeing before. Because if it ended like just on a flash bang, like you'd kind of go, okay, well, that's what it is. But then when it ends in that emotional way, you have to question what you've seen before, and you're like, oh, actually, maybe this is more serious than I took it before, you know. And the lyrics of Superheroes, the last verse, I mean, that's so dope, right? What is it? It's got and stranded on the planet's face, some insects called the human race, lost in time and lost in space and meaning. That's super dope, you know. You know,
Absolutely.
yeah, you know, hats off to my dad. He really
Oh.
pulled those songs out of thin air and made something that should be mentioned in the same breath as West Side Story and all of those musicals, you know. So it's Yeah, it's really nice to be able to celebrate his work and to give something to the fans to celebrate.
Absolutely. I mean, there isn't a weak song in the, I see Wicked and I think, okay, there are a couple of great songs. I mean, I see Rocky Horror and I think every single song is amazing. I mean,
know.
some that, a song that should just sort of be a toss off, like Touch a Touch Touch Me
Yeah.
or the song that Rocky sings after being
Yeah.
created. I mean, the lyrics are amazing. The songs, I mean,
Yeah.
the Meatloaf song is cats.
I think what those songs represent is how much my dad was influenced and loved 50s rock and roll. I mean, as soon as he heard Little Richard start singing, he was all the way there. And that energy and passion and joy for those 50s rock and roll songs are totally imbued into Rocky. And then you combine the time that they were living in, which is glam rock. So you've got basically those very hooky guitar riffs from like the Rolling Stones mixed with 50s rock and roll and just like with shades of punk coming up. I mean, yeah, it's really something very, very unique.
I mean, I listen to the soundtrack all the time, watch the film all the time. It
Right.
holds up so well.
Yeah.
And your father sort of enhances your film with such incredible insight and introspection. I mean, it's really touching. It's really touching. I mean, did you expect this all along? Is he always that sort of candid
I mean, to be honest, we didn't. I knew he might be quite reticent to delve into more of the emotional things. And so it was, you know, I didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable, but I also wanted to try and explore that stuff. And we got just the moments that we needed. There are times where I think, oh, maybe I should have delved a little bit more into this or that. But when I look at the movie as a whole, we made the movie that we wanted to make. And I don't think there's that much room for improvement. Maybe there was a like maybe we could have gone a little bit deeper in family and stuff like that, but it I think I really feel like we tried to give everything the space that it needed. And we're very adamant about keeping it to 90 minutes. We wanted it to feel, I think it's very important when you're watching a documentary or maybe anything, but particularly a documentary, that you want to have like almost like a metronome speed in your head. Like a click, 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 click. Like, so you're totally engaged. Every story leads to the next. You don't dwell on anything too long. And you're given everything that you need. And it doesn't matter so much if you wanted a little bit more of the theater, or you wanted a little bit more of the movie, or you wanted a little bit more of the emotional stuff, or the LGBTQ themes. Or there's the classic line of always leave them wanting more. And I think that there's probably a little bit of that in all of those subjects. So The reception that we had at South by Southwest, we had a 6-minute standing ovation. The reception at Provincetown, where we opened the festival there, was incredible. I mean, it's the only time I felt like a rock star was walking down the streets the days after the screening. Everyone's coming up to me, thanking me for making it and taking photos. Like it was, there's so much love in the air for it that, we couldn't ask for more, basically.
Sure. I mean, you do a great job honoring the Rocky Horror fans, which are legion
Right.
here in the United States. Is it the same in other parts of the country? Is it the same in England where the fans, present basically the entire show in front of the screen?
To be honest, the stage show is way more popular than the movie in England.
Yeah. Oh,
Like
yeah.
the movie might only play once in a while in different theaters, but the stage show constantly tours year round. Basically,
Wow.
there's never a stage production not running, basically, in England.
Wow.
And the same for Australia as well. And now that stage production has gone to Oslo. I think they've done a tour in France. So the stage production is quite popular outside of the United States. Yeah.
There are a few shows that can say that, but
Yeah.
that the film is really popular
Yeah.
and the stage show is
Yeah.
equally as popular around the world.
Yeah.
Of course, the stage show pops up here in the United States in
Yeah.
smaller regional theaters, but
Yeah.
it's really thrilling. It's coming back to Broadway, so
Yeah. Yeah, just
maybe
it's gonna
planning a
outlive
trip
us
to New
all.
York. Yeah.
Rocky is gonna outlive us all. This is
Oh.
do you know that TV show Station 11? Did you ever see that?
Oh, yes.
So there's a yeah, it's on HBO. It's kind of like 30 years in the future, kind of an apocalyptic kind of scenario. And they have a traveling touring stage group that goes around like would essentially be like the Great Lakes or Long Island or something like that. It stops at
Yeah.
different places every weekend and they perform Hamlet. And while I was watching the show, I was like, yeah, they're performing Hamlet on Friday, but probably on Saturday, they're performing Rocky Horror. And I think that that's the kind of longevity it's going to have. Like, it's just going to, as long as there's humans on Earth, Rocky will be performed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So when you're doing research for the film, did you come across any things that were really surprising to you?
Nothing's too surprising, but some of the B-roll footage we got was incredible. Like there's one where there's this very attractive woman sitting on this guy's shoulders, and she goes, "It's great to be doing this instead of anything else." And she goes, "It's great, right?" And then the whole crowd around her erupts, and I'm like, "Oh my God, that's so amazing." And then there's another one. She goes at the beginning of the film, she goes, "It's not a movie, it's a way of life." And so there's all these little things. I'm like, oh my goodness, finding those things to like punctuate the movie and the vibe. Oh, and then at the end of the movie, just before Susan Sarandon starts talking, she goes, she goes, "I couldn't go dressed up like this, you know." And she goes, "Yeah, or anywhere else." And she goes, "Yeah, it wouldn't be safe, right?" And so that's such a nice thing to convey. Like there's a safe place for people, a community built for people who felt different, who felt marginalized. I can't think of another work of art, an album, a movie, a stage play, a song that has tangibly saved lives like Rocky has. There was a guy who came up to me after South by Southwest. We did the Q&A. He came up to the stage and knelt down and he was shaking tons. I go, "What's wrong?" He goes, "Well, 32 years ago, my wife and I met at Rocky Horror. And my wife wanted to tell you and your dad that if it wasn't for Rocky Horror, she wouldn't be alive today." And so that story is conveyed to me time and again. I venture a guess that it's probably somewhere in the hundreds of thousands of lives that Rocky has saved. People might not believe me. They think, well, at the most, it's tens of thousands. But, it's three generations of people that we're talking about here, over 50 years. And yeah, it's had a noticeable impact on the world and our culture. And on the surface, it just seems like this frivolous adolescent dream, when in reality, it's touched people far deeper than that.
Yes, the longevity is absolutely
It's
astounding.
unparalleled.
Yes, it really is. It truly is. I mean, it's easily the best known, I think, cult film. I mean, I think the term was created. The cult film was created as a term to explain Rocky Horror. I mean, I don't really remember that. I have a film degree, so this is why I can pontificate. But
No, of course.
it was Rocky Horror, and then oh, these other films are also cult films. You know, Freaks We Can Call a cult film, Red Shoes.
Right. And also it's and we didn't even talk about, we were talking about the influences of Rocky from 50s music and stuff. You know, B movies featured heavily into that. That was my dad's love, And so, yeah, there's two really interesting facts. It's the longest running theatrical release in the history of cinema, 50 years. Second place is like a year and a half. It's like The Godfather or something. And then the other thing that's astounding is that it saved movie theaters all across the Midwest in the 70s because they could rely on full packed houses on Friday and Saturday night, and that sustained movies. So what a wonderful full circle thing that is that the 50s B movies inspired my dad. My dad writes an homage to 50s B movies, and that movie ends up saving the cinemas that he would have seen his B movies in. It's really quite, when you start looking at all the different influences that Rocky has had, I mean, it goes on for days.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, such a wonderful film, such, you know, your film also, but Rocky Horror and the stage show, just absolute, like you said, joy, bliss. You know, there are heavy themes, but in the end, you can always enjoy yourself watching Rocky Horror or seeing.
Yeah, we saw a mid they had a midnight screen no, they had a screening of the original movie at the Provincetown Film Festival. So I saw it with lots of people who hadn't seen it before, and it was crazy watching it again. Their mouths are wide open at all the different scenes and everything. Yeah, it was super fun.
I mean, that was sort of the thing in Chicago, you know, like, you know, maybe a couple years after the film was released in 76, and Siskel and Ebert, you know, started noticing what was happening at the midnight screenings and reporting on it and doing reviews of the film. And, you know, it was just growing, growing, growing. I mean, I think at some point they had two screenings on Friday and Saturday night. But, you know, the concept of here are the virgins, they've never seen it before. And, you know, and it wasn't ridiculing them. It was like, oh, you're in for something special, you know.
I mean, everyone who came up to me in Provincetown always told me the story of when they first saw it. It's burned on their brain like their first kiss or when they lost their virginity. It's that vivid, that story. And so, yeah, it just countless. Like, they say, oh, I had to put my Rocky clothes underneath my real clothes. I had to climb out of my window. My friends were waiting for me. It's story after story.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, getting on the bus, trying to be safe, right? Oh, great. Oh, great. It's so wonderful that you're enjoying this moment with all of these fans. And you know, we really appreciate that you've made this film.
It's so nice because everyone loves Rocky so much, and they're always looking for new ways to appreciate it and celebrate it. And so to be able to make something which gives them the very thing that they're looking for is really quite, it's an honor, basically. I'm full of gratitude.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it took you about 3 years to make the film.
Yeah, I came up with the idea in May of 2022, and where it's been, it's doing the rounds at the festival circuit, now right now. So yeah, 3 years.
Does your father love the film?
Yeah, I mean, I could see he's not very effusive in his praise of anything, but I did FaceTime with him right after he saw it, and you could see the tears in his eyes and hear the appreciation in his voice. So yeah, it was great. And I'm flying out to New Zealand in a week because we're going to watch it together for the first time at the opening of the Dock Edge Film Festival there. So that's going to be fun.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. Is the film a huge hit in New Zealand also?
What, the original Rocky movie?
Yes, in the shows.
Yeah, I mean, because he's kind of a de facto New Zealander. That's where he grew up from 8
Yeah.
to 24. So yeah, they hold him as one of their own, and you know he has that statue in Hamilton. So yeah, they love him there.
Is that where the statue is?
So yeah, that's where we shot it.
I don't think I've ever seen the statue. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's designed by the people from Weta who did Lord of the Rings. It's
Oh,
their
wow.
yeah, so it's like this amazing bronze huge statue in the
Yeah.
middle of Hamilton.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Well, congratulations, and again, thank you from all of
Oh.
the fans. We love you for it.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice to hear, Gary. And then I'll be interested. Drop me an email and let me know how the reception was at Frameline.
Oh, you're not going to be able to come.
I can't because I got to be in New Zealand.
Oh, no. Oh,
Yeah.
it's going to be amazing. Oh,
Yeah,
I'll tell you, it's going to be amazing.
that's great. I can't wait.
Very good. Linus, best
Excellent.
wishes, and come back when you're working on a new dock, or are you
Yeah,
still?
I would love to. I live in LA. I'm always in San Francisco. I
Oh,
love
nice.
it so much. So yeah, I would. It's a real shame I can't be there with you guys.
Very good. And much love to your father too.
All right, will do. Cheers,
Okay.
Gary.
All right. Thank you so
Take
much.
care.